it's so hard to leave this community, man. The people. I always look back on this experience with just nothing but a smile on my face.
What is up, listeners? Welcome to Business Beyond Usual. My name is Ramil, and today's episode is... Well, today's episode is a little bittersweet for me, to be honest. My time with Business Beyond Usual is coming to an end. I wrapped up my MBA and graduated this past spring and started full-time with Deloitte Consulting and their strategy and analytics offering in Chicago a few weeks ago. I wanted to return to the pod one last time to both reflect on the MBA journey I've just experienced, but also bring you a really great conversation from earlier this year I had with my man, Daryl Brown, the outgoing MBA Council President at Michigan Ross. We had what I'm calling an exit interview of sorts, where he reflected on everything that's happened the past 2 years, from changes he's seen in himself to changes he's seen in our communities. But before we get to that, though, I have a few shout-outs I need to make. First off, a special thanks goes out to Heather Byrne, Jerry Wan, and the Ross Marcom team for helping me launch the show in 2016, and the incredible student body here at Michigan Ross who embraced it. We were among the most popular business podcasts on iTunes in our launch week because of their effort. Next, thanks to MBA's Sheila, Ava, Natalie, Marjace, and the whole crew for their contributions to the show over this past year. They've released some really cool episodes that give us great insights in the MBA experience, so go give those a listen if you haven't already. There looks to be a great squad of hosts and producers on deck for next year, so I'm excited what the future of this podcast has in store. Finally, thanks to Christopher Enke, my Marcom executive producer, who helped me develop, launch, and grow this incredible idea. I came to Ross with just an idea about doing some kind of podcast. I had no journalism, audio production, or broadcasting experience other than the fact that I just listened to a ton of podcasts. So my thought? Grab a few MBAs, crack some brews, and shoot the shit about school and life. Luckily, Christopher helped me refine my concept, create a focus, and structure the content. He's a real mastermind behind our episodes, and I truly could not have done this without him. Alright, enough sappy stuff. Now, for my last episode and the last one of this season, my exit interview with outgoing MBA Council President Daryl Brown. Before graduation, Daryl and I sat down for a beer at the underrated Beaver Trap and reflected on the craziness of the last 2 years. Alright, Rami from the past, take it away. What's up, Daryl?
My man, Ramu, what's up?
I'm here with Daryl. We're at Beaver Trap. He brought me here for the, well, he has a deal. What's it called again?
The Mug Club.
What's the Mug Club?
You get this giant mug of beer every time you come in, or every beer you order, you get it in this giant mug. So it's my kind of place. You know, I don't really like the, you know, I like places where you can just kind of hang out, chill, watch a bunch of football. In sports,
that's a definition of a people's president, right?
Yeah,
there.
Man.
So, Daryl Brown, president, SGA president. Let's start with a little bit of your background. So, tell me about who you are and where you're headed next.
Oh, and before I mention, great poutine here as well at Beaver Trap's awesome spot. But yes, I'm sorry. Where are we going?
Who you are? What's your background? And where you're headed next?
All right. So, who am I? Grew up. On the east side of Atlanta, Stone Mountain. Very, very proud to be from the Atlanta area. It's an awesome place and a place I'm glad I grew up. From there, was able to go to school outside of Boston, work in the Midwest. So I think I've definitely been blessed to have different experiences throughout the country. I think it's kind of, you know, made me in many ways who I am in those different environments. I'm actually, after Ross, heading to Dow Chemical in their general management program, which is a great opportunity, and it's actually the opportunity I came to business school for. Mm-hmm. In the sense that I came to business school with different experiences, that being finance, risk management, and sales, and I knew I wanted to learn how to run a business.
Right, okay.
And so this program that I'm entering in Dow, at Dow Chemical, will kind of put me in that driver's seat to be a global P&L director.
Awesome.
Nice. At some point. So,
So you are SGA president. Could you tell listeners that don't know what that means, what the role of SGA president is, and who all do you work with? How's that work?
Yes. Well, and actually, clarification, SGA ended last year, and so this is the first year of the MBA Council.
Okay.
because just to kind of level set or take it back, before this current year, there was the SGA, which was the student government organization for the Ross, for Ross. And so it was comprised of all full-time MBAs, but full-time MBAs made funding decisions for all of the Ross programs. Mm. And so it became, you know, quickly became a scenario where it's like, okay, why are we as full-time MBAs determining, quote-unquote, the experience based on the funding?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Based on funding decisions for the BBA community, for, you know, MSEM and other programs.
Yeah.
And so starting this year, each program had their own council.
Interesting.
That was solely responsible for the funding and kind of helping shape and mold the experience. In their program. Yeah,
well, tell me about
program.
The MBA council then.
Yes.
As that president role. What did you do? Who do you work with?
So, the MBA council, we are solely responsible regarding the full-time MBA experience. And so, that being, we work directly with clubs on their events and in helping with funding, as well as even, you know, kind of coordinating on events and helping maximize the exposure there, as well as with the administration. And so any initiatives that we want to drive, we work directly with the administration on getting the necessary either people in place or processes in place to lay that out. And or if the administration has anything they'd like to work on or implement mm-hmm. in the student body, that we're that voice and that sounding board and really that engine to help them get that across in the student community.
Interesting. So you're looking after the people of the MBA program.
Yes.
The people in the program, as well as you're interfacing with the administration.
With the administration.
Program office.
Correct. And either taking information from the student body up to the administration or vice versa.
Gotcha. Let me ask you, so I don't know why you'd run to be president, but tell me, what was your campaign that you ran on and what were your goals coming in?
For me, it was really important that, especially with this being the first year of a new structure, that it was all about foundation and creating a strong foundation that MBA councils after this could really build upon and grow from there. So for me, I initially wanted to really establish the MBA council as that sounding board for the full-time MBA community. And really empower each of the roles within the MBA Council to do that in their particular aspect. So, you know, we within our MBA Council, we have someone responsible for every aspect of the student experience.
Okay.
And so really empowering them to really get that done and make sure that they have all the necessary resources to do that, to really build upon the One Ross our One Ross, not slogan, but mantra and kind of what
right,
we stand
yeah.
for,
yeah.
And really either push initiatives from the MBA Council or help fund and start initiatives from the student body that bring that to fruition. One of those being working directly with Tim and Andrew on starting the Wolverine Disaster Relief Club.
Okay.
Right? It was something that we hadn't had before, but it, you know, they reached out to me regarding wanting to start this organization. I was like, man, this is amazing. This is exactly what Ross stands for. So I'm going to make sure that we get all the necessary people in the right room to launch this club and get it off the ground. So things like that. And then also really engaging our international community and making sure that, you know, their experience is at the forefront of our experience. And one of the great things I'm glad we were able to do this year was to actually create a new role, that being the VP of International Student Experience. So that their experience and their voice actually has a room. I'm sorry, that their voice is in the room for funding decisions and, you know, for helping shape the student experience.
Of the goals that you guys set for yourself this year,
yes.
What are you guys kind of most proud of your achievements from this year?
One, first and foremost, collectively creating that strong foundation.
Okay.
So I say without a shadow of a doubt, each person on the council really optimize their role and really help shape and scope it so that it's as effective as possible for the MBA community. So that's first and foremost, as well as creating events and helping fund events that really do shape our experience here. You know, we're only here for a short time, so every event should be as impactful as possible. And so I think we did a great job working with clubs to make sure that, you know, that events were as impactful as possible and that the funding was there when need be. So that outside of that, as well as restructuring the NBA Council for next year, in a way that we think would be much more effective. So we've merged the VP of Ops and Events and VP of Clubs role. So that's now one role, VP of Student Engagement, that Michael Barnes will has now started in, and we created the new VP of International Student Experience role.
Anything left on the slate you just feel like you weren't able to get to, or anything that you regret that you wish you had done or done differently?
No. I think that I wouldn't say regret. I know for a fact on the financial transparency side, you know, we as a council, we felt that it's important that it's not a financial transparency from clubs to the NBA council, but a financial transparency from the club to its members.
To the members.
And so since that wasn't in place before, we couldn't come out of the gates with mandates, right?
Right.
So we had to start slow, which, I mean, it makes sense. So we started with guidelines, like, hey, this, you know, a lack of financial transparency will be a part of the discussion, but doesn't exclude you from NBA council funding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's definitely, I would say one of the big things for next year's council will be to make that a mandate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is important that members know where their money is going. And, you know, because, I mean, we spend a lot on these clubs, and they're very important, and they do great things. But, you know, it's just that extra level of transparency so that, you know, so that everyone is you know, knows where their funds are going.
Well, we were talking earlier about, you know, the power of incentives when you talk about business decisions. Mm-hmm. One of those incentives truly is owning a P&L, and it can be really tough to tell someone that is in charge of a P&L what to do about how to be more transparent and what those protocols are. For that, I can see that can be a tough conversation.
And one of the things we've even talked to the administration, to Dean DeRue and Dean Kalele and Sujin about, and Scott Skinner had this great idea regarding, you know, there being more leadership training for club leaders, because as you mentioned, you are leading, you are running a P&L, you are a leader, and there's a lot that goes into that. And so there should be some, you know, even if it's
how do you get a message out on campus groups? Right. I don't know how to do that.
Right. Or even, like, you know, how do you lead with no formal influence?
Yeah.
or how to, you know, all of those different things that make true leaders, because there's a difference between being a boss and being a leader. And one of the powerful things I think about business school is that you really do, if you're in a leadership role, you have to learn how to be a true leader, because you have no formal authority.
Yeah.
Like, people think, like, oh, Daryl, you have all this authority. I don't have any authority, especially within the NBA Council. I can't fire anybody. Like that. We're all the same page. We're all, you know. So it's all about, you know, creating that vision and making sure that everyone is not only participated in that vision, but they have their piece of it, so that, you know, we all can, you know, move forward in the right direction. So with that being said, there's definitely talk about there being leadership training for club leaders, as well as even like a class credit.
Yeah.
You know, because of the amount of think about the amount of time that it takes to lead clubs. Right.
Yeah.
Like, everyone thinks the second year is just, you know, walk in the park. But when you go from being in a club to leading a club, that's such a different experience.
And there's an expectation, I think, that you are. We're such a student-driven culture that you need to make sure that club experience is good from top to bottom, from NBA 1 to NBA 2. And so there's an expectation that club is going to be managed and organized very well.
Yeah.
Right. Well, tell me, did you ever have any an oh shit moment, or were you just lost and confused this year? I mean, you're coming into a new presidential term. There's probably some you know, learning curve up there. How did you manage to get through those times?
Well, right out of the gate last year, never forget, there was a H-1B visa issue that our international community had right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So this was around this time last year, or, you know, I mean, the very beginning of April, you know, we come across an H-1B visa issue that was the result of decisions made in our executive executive branch that trickled down to our community, and kind of how that affected the visa process. So right off the bat, I learned the importance of quickly learning about a situation that I had no, you know, I had no line of sight or any sort of background in knowing about the whole visa process. So yeah. I had to get up to speed.
Smart quick.
Yeah. Very fast. And not only that, but then mobilize our international community and really get all the necessary people in the right place to help start driving towards a solution. And so it's kind of that two-pronged approach. It's like you need to understand, okay, the crisis or what's going on fast, mm-hmm. and then get all the necessary people to find the solution fast. And so, you know, that was definitely a oh shit moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of
oh,
the
yeah.
gate.
Sounds like a real life experience in crisis management as we go through
yes.
our crisis management
well,
class.
And we had people in our community that very well and, you know,
were yeah.
worried, and they
oh,
should,
yeah,
be.
Should be.
If I was in that situation, I put myself in their shoes,
yeah.
and I completely understood.
Right.
I mean, you know, you go through, you actually come into a program thinking that there's one process and actually aligning all your classes and
yep.
everything to take
yep.
advantage of this one process, and then finding out almost by happenstance that it just changed. And, you know, so.
Well, you've completed a year.
Yes.
So tell me, could you boil down what you've learned in your tenure into maybe three lessons learned or three key takeaways?
Yeah. The importance of, first and foremost, building a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the great thing about our team this year is that we weren't alike in the sense that we all brought something different to the table that I felt allowed us to really work at a high level. Because we always had at least one, if not two people that kind of, you know, had a direction and then,
yeah.
you know, were able to help the rest of us get there. And so I think as a team, we worked very well because we were different.
Okay.
We had yellows, red, blues, mm-hmm. green, you know, mm-hmm. the whole Michigan. You
gotta
throw that,
yep.
throw that Michigan model leadership
shout
in there.
Out. Yeah.
Shout out. But I think that was huge. Also, the importance of in my role, being able to really mobilize everyone else on the council.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly learned that, you know, I would be most effective when I could, you know, hey, what do you need? Okay, this is
yeah.
this is the initiative you're driving. How can I help you
delegate and power
get
yeah.
there? Right.
Yeah.
So that, because I think the biggest thing for me, I really wanted to make sure that especially this year, this year's going forward, that it's about the council. That it's not
yeah.
one person. Like Daryl isn't the NBA council.
Right.
It's seven of us that are all driving or all helping to drive and influence in a positive way the student experience. So that's number two. And then also, I guess, thirdly, like the importance of not making a decision without all the necessary information. I haven't done everything right. I've definitely jumped the
yeah.
gun on a few things
yeah.
because I didn't have all the necessary information and I acted too fast.
Yeah.
So the importance of, you know, of making sure you have as much information as possible before you make a decision.
So that actually gets my next question was, I feel like leadership so much is about communication. And I wonder how your team, you're managing different stakeholders, you're
mm-hmm.
managing MBAs, you're managing your council team, you're managing, you know, as well as administration and program office. How did your team manage to stay aligned and on the same page as well as with other ROS administrators? And from a communication standpoint.
Yeah. And I think that, again, goes to the strength of our team that
yeah.
we developed that rhythm
mm-hmm.
on how to communicate, right? You know, on how to make sure that everyone was on the same page regarding,
yeah.
you know, either a funding decision or an initiative we were driving. And, you know, I won't take credit for that. I think,
yeah.
again, it was a function of being a really strong team.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, you know, when you have busy MBAs, you know how busy it is.
Yeah.
So,
well Daryl, that's my next one, man. I don't think people know how busy you are. I mean,
man.
You are in some of the most involved classes. You're also in ROS Leadership Academy. You're also in Zell Lurie Commercialization Fund with me. And you're probably in a couple other activities. I wonder, how do you keep your sanity this whole year? I mean, you were a busy guy.
Oh, man. I have a great wife who understands that as much as I try not to, I always overcommit.
Shout out, Jasmine.
Shout
your better half.
Shout out to Jazz, my much better half. And I mean, I think, again, that's the importance of developing. That's what I've learned, like, how important it is to not for it not to be about me. Like,
yeah.
I didn't do everything on the NBA Council. We had a great team. Like, there's no way I could have got my single self could have gotten done
right.
everything that we accomplished. On ZLCF, Matt carried us. Like, because of you know, everything that kind of that I was consumed with on the NBA Council side, yeah. you know, he was able when I was over capacity to take over. So shout out to Matt Raskin as yeah. well. And I mean, you know, when it comes to class, I've very much been about, you know, making sure that I'm learning.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, like, grades are what they are, but for me, it's just like, all right, I need to be here.
Yeah.
And the importance of present, of being present.
Right.
So, like, whenever I'm in an NBA council meeting, I'm not thinking about class.
Yeah.
Or wherever I'm in class, I'm not thinking about, you know, something on ZLCF. And so just kind of compartmentalizing that so I can kind of maximize the presence in, like,
it's actually a really powerful capability to have. Is it's the idea of switch tracking, is
mm-hmm.
be able to seamlessly switch your brain from this meeting to this meeting. Okay, I have a group meeting here, a group meeting there, and I'm sure with your busy schedule that's really important. Well, let's talk about the next president and,
yes.
and the next council coming in.
Shout out,
you know, what are you most confident about in this next administration?
That they'll take the foundation that our council
yeah.
set and take it to the next level. You know, in the meetings I've had with Cachet and others on their council, I mean, they're ready to go. I mean,
okay.
they've actually started, but I know that they'll really be effective in taking what our council started
yeah.
to that next level and you know, and expounding upon it and really finding even bigger and better ways. So, like, the one thing Cachet and I've talked about, and I've been honest, I'm like, hey, Cachet, everything, you know, we did a lot this year. So your council, you guys are responsible for analyzing what we did,
yeah.
finding the things that we did that you guys felt were, okay, this is, you know, very impactful and expounding upon
yeah.
it, and things that may not have or don't resonate now with the current class or current class of students,
mm-hmm.
scrapping it or changing
yeah.
it, you know, just like, because it's all about the, like, the student experience, right? And all you can do is try as hard as you can during the time you have, and next year's council, you know, builds upon that.
So you turned over, you're out.
Yes.
Done.
DB out.
Well, I know being president of the NBA council is not quite the same magnitude as being, you know, maybe the president of the U.S. But I think there's a
little difference.
Darryl, I look at you. There's public office in your day in the future. I see it. So I wonder, which one of our presidents do you feel like you most identify with in terms of leadership, in terms of capabilities, and why?
I'm going to shock everyone and say President Obama.
Oh, boy.
Shout out, President Obama. No, but honestly, now on the cliche side of our clear physical
similarities.
But no, seriously, I mean, you're talking about someone who came into arguably the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And on top of that, on top of having to deal with all the normal pressures
yeah.
of having the highest office or the highest, most powerful office in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
you also have to deal with all of the extraneous things to have to deal with. And I felt that while no person is perfect, I felt that he dealt with the extra things
right.
extremely well and
sure.
and with class.
Yep.
And so for me, I thought that was very impactful, because I'm going to be honest, there were certain things that happened, I was like, hey, there's no way I could have handled it that way. So,
yeah.
you know, in learning, learning from that. And I mean, you're talking about someone who laid the foundation for health for every American citizen to have health care.
Yeah.
Is it perfect? No, but it's a start.
Yeah.
And can people build upon it? Yes, and
right.
they should, but it's a start. And that's, again, what I've learned in this role is, like, okay, you can't perfect something.
Yeah.
If you can't perfect something, at least start it
yeah.
so that others behind you can perfect it. But if you don't do something because you're saying, oh, it won't be perfect,
yeah,
then nothing ever gets done. Like, nothing comes out of the gate perfect.
And we talked about this before, you know, in terms of what he's been able to do. He had a vision, he had an opinion,
mm-hmm.
and he went to go execute it. And I think as a
yes.
leader, that's really important.
And I think as a leader, it's important. I mean, I think there's a stubbornness in being a leader. Sure. If you know something is right, it doesn't matter what the polls say. Yeah. It doesn't matter what, you know, what... it doesn't matter, because fundamentally, if you know what you're doing is right, then you have to.
Well, I don't know if we did a poll at Ross, but I would assume your poll to be strong, Daryl. There's another similarity. You and Obama both got swag. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
This guy comes around wearing his suit with the pocket square and the nice clean pile of
little
shoes.
Things,
come
little
on,
things.
Man. Well, I got two more fun ones,
my man.
And then we'll wrap up. So, if you could live in another era,
yes.
When would it be and why?
If I could live in another era, it would be the 60s. I'm a big history buff,
okay.
And I've been learning a lot about that time in particular. And I would say, in my personal opinion, there wasn't a decade in the 20th century
mm-hmm.
that was more impactful and influential in the direction in the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we had the Great Depression, everything that came from that. But
right.
I mean, socially.
Socially, yeah.
We made more social change in a 10-year span than any other time in our history. And,
yeah.
and so, you know, it's one of those things where, because of the sacrifices that so many people made during that time, we as people have freedoms that we have now. But
yeah.
then there's also still some things that may have on the surface changed
mm-hmm.
that still in some ways are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that fight still isn't over, but it started there. And you know, mm-hmm. you had people of all different shapes, sizes, races, walks of life a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the 60s were a very, very powerful time in our
okay.
country.
Okay. Well, let's say relevant. Let's come
yeah.
back to today. We're in DISO week. We just started. So
yeah.
which DISO event, for people that don't know, our listeners, Disorientation, it's our last 2 weeks of Ross, and it's a way to send out the MBA2 graduates in a fanfare. So which DISO event are you most excited about and why?
That's a great question. I would say I'm most excited about
I've seen you play beer pong.
Well, I hope I crush it on Friday in Beer Olympics. I definitely say Risky Business.
Nice, yeah.
Just, you know, that'll be next Monday. Just because, I mean, our Risky Business group, they have been crushing it. Well, they crushed it last year, but they have been crushing it this year, man. And just like, I don't know, it's just like, it's such an awesome time to be with this amazing community.
Yeah.
You know, you're cheering on your friends that are crushing it on stage, but
yeah.
then you're just around everybody. It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those experiences at Ross that you can't put into words, right?
Yeah. It is coming full circle right now. We were on the field at the Big House just a couple hours ago, and everyone was getting together, huddling up with their friends, taking mm-hmm. photos, enjoying the atmosphere. You can kind of tell there's a true nostalgia
yes.
being created right
oh,
now.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
All right. So, let me get inside of Daryl's head. What's it been like for you in the past couple of weeks? So I'm wondering what's going through your head as an outgoing president and also as Daryl as an NBA.
Yeah. Well, as an outgoing president, I just, you know, for me, my biggest thing, I just hope that the structure that our council has laid really is a strong foundation,
yeah.
right? That,
yeah.
that
yeah.
you know, that we've accomplished what we set out, which I think we have. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things only time will tell, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, have we developed a relationship with the administration that, you know, that there's that flow of not only flow of communication, but flow of collaboration,
yeah.
right, from the administration? And does the NBA community really trust us with their experience in coming to the NBA Council with great initiatives
mm-hmm.
and great events? So, like, basically, has the structure that I feel we've laid, is it actually a strong foundation?
Yeah.
So that's one thing as outgoing president. As Daryl the NBA, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to, it's so hard to leave this community, man, the
yeah.
people. And just knowing that I always look back on this experience with just nothing but a smile on my face. So it's kind of one of those things where you're battling not wanting to move forward with the fact that I'm here to accelerate my moving forward. right?
Right.
And so, you know, also looking forward to that, you know, and really knowing that, you know, the people I've met and the education I've gained will help, you know, that propelling forward.
Love it. Well, I want to get a little deep with you real quick.
My man.
So I wonder, where does Daryl go from here? What are your ambitions personally and professionally going forward?
Personally, it's to continue to be a good husband. Jasmine's husband, yes. As most people know me at Ross anyways. You know, we definitely plan to start our family soon. So for me, it's focus on the personal side of being a great husband and great father. And not a great husband, great father by action, right? Like that. So in that stance, standpoint, mm-hmm. and on the professional side, you know, excited to head to Dow Chemical right out of the gate. I tend to live in 5-year increments.
Yeah. What are the chapters?
Do I see myself one day wanting to, you know, maybe either start or run my own business? Possibly.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about it before. I definitely want to, sometime in the near future, also work on launching a nonprofit called EOE, Education Opportunity Exposure, that really helps close the socioeconomic gap in some of the different constructs that have created this socioeconomic gap. And lastly, I mean, I definitely do see a possibility on the public service side. You know, I really feel that I need to accomplish something on the business professional and service side before I even feel, you know, that I'm qualified for public service. But yeah, I definitely see that in, you know, as a possibility in the future.
I like that strategy. I think Bill Hall talked about this is drawing out that long-term vision and then bringing it back into terms of what your 2 to 5 year chapter is really going to be like. And then what I look at is assigning different types of probabilities to different outcomes of where I'm going to go. Maybe it could be partner track at Deloitte, and maybe it's not. And if it's not, it's fine. Maybe I jump off and start my own company. I think you assign certain outlooks of where you're going to be, and then you have a certain vision. But at least you have a vision, and that's important. Well, I look at you, and you've been really involved with Ross for your past 2 years.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder how are you going to feel like you're going to stay involved with Ross after your tenure?
First and foremost, through the recruiting aspect and making sure that. So, Chuck Robitaille and I are the second and third, obviously in no ranking, but we are second and third into Dow Chemical's general management program. Okay. Tyler Thompson was the first from our program. So, making sure that we fill that pipeline with Rossers.
Yeah.
And so, just overall in the recruitment standpoint, but then also outside of just recruiting and making sure that whatever company I'm in, I make sure that there are a bunch of Rossers there to help drive that business. Outside of that, but also, you know, on the philanthropic side, making sure that, you know, when I have the means, I can really, you know, on the donation side, help propel the school forward. But then also, lastly, in terms of just time, right?
Yeah.
And so coming back to Ross for initiatives where, you know, hopefully I can be of some sort of mentorship to Rossers behind. To, you know, make sure their journey is smooth.
Well, I've seen this in action is your ability to connect people with people. And I think being in that presidential role at least puts you in a certain elevation in terms of where you are in our program. Yeah. People know your name. And so I think people coming through the program, if you're looking to get somewhere, I think you're not a bad person to reach out to. And you'll connect them with the right people. Right?
There may not be many things I do well, but people, I feel that I do well. I love people, and you know, hopefully they love me, but I love connecting good people. So,
all right, last one. What are you and Jazz going to do this summer before work starts?
Yeah, we're planning on living it up a little bit. We both actually have a summer, with her being a teacher. And me not starting starting at Dow until mid-August, we have a wedding, a few of us from Ross, a few of the partners that we're really close with.
Yeah.
We have a Memorial Day trip planned. Then we're planning a trip to Greece for about 10 days.
Where are you guys doing in Greece?
So spend a few days in Athens, and then we're still trying to decide on the islands, but definitely Mykonos and trying to decide that second island.
All right, Daryl, well, this is your exit interview as president of the NBA Council. I want to know, are there any last words you want to leave the public with?
That has been an absolute honor to serve as president of the business school, to help continue to make this great place greater, and that, you know, everything that I've learned and hopefully the team that I was on, you know, really helped propel this community forward, and you know, everything that I've learned, I'm definitely taking with me for the rest of my life. So thank you to the Ross community for trusting me with this amazing opportunity and this amazing experience. And yeah, outside of that, as always, go blue.
Go blue. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for serving as our president. I know from behalf of my class and the one before us, it really meant a lot. So thank you, sir.
Hey, man. Thank you.
All right, listeners. Present day removes back. Thanks to Daryl for a great conversation. Wish you all the best, man, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode and the last 2 years of episodes. I've really enjoyed making this podcast for you, and I sincerely hope that it's been useful or entertaining or whatever you need it to be. It's been a lot of fun. I may be signing off, but Business Beyond Usual will continue, so stay tuned for new episodes with a new cast of producers in the fall. Business Beyond Usual is brought to you by the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. This episode was produced by me, Ramu Anomaly, and Christopher Enke, who also did the editing for today's show. For the last time, I'm Ramu, and this is Business Beyond Usual.